Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-BONE at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-BONE.
On a Tuesday, hope you're staying warm and safe on the streets. Good to be with you. Good to be back in studio. Good to see Tanner for the first time since before Thanksgiving. And everyone here, it was great being at Dash's yesterday and meeting some listeners who stopped by. There was one listener who stopped by simply to test if I was right about the coffee, and the listener said I indeed was correct about the coffee. So I thank you for that. And for all who dropped off a donation, remember Mission Give Where You Live, powered by Nice Egg, sponsored by Dash's, the Barnes Firm, and News Radio 930 WBEN, continues through December 19th. Donations of new hats, gloves, scarves, sweatshirts, sweatpants, non-perishable food items at any Dash's location to benefit the Buffalo City Mission, again, through December 19th. And we thank Mike Baggerman and Rich Barnes for also joining us yesterday. Today, I thought we would start by talking about something that you've heard throughout the day. You heard it on the morning with Susan and Brian. You heard me talk about it on Hardline with Rich Fontana and Ryan Whalen. And that is the public outreach that begins tonight. Now, this is the first of several that the New York State Department of Transportation will be putting on. They call it Queen City Forward. We know it as the Kensington Expressway Project or the 33 Project or whatever you want to call it. An open house style listening session will be held today, 5 to 7, at Schiller Park Senior Center. And that's located at 2057 Genesee Street. Now, the DOT is saying it's the first of several public listening sessions that will be held in the coming weeks to gather community input. Now, if that sounds familiar, if you've been under a rock, or, you know, you've been focusing on other news and you're probably saying to yourself, wait a minute, Is this Groundhog Day? Haven't we been here before? Well, you would be absolutely right. We have been here before. We had the public outreach, numerous public outreach meetings, and we had the final product. If you remember, Kathy Hochul came into Buffalo February of 2024 and said, this is the project. As people were protesting it, you know, there were people who were saying they don't want to be at the end of the toxic tunnel. I remember that. I was in for Tom, I think, that day. And I remember carrying the press conference. But Hochul was adamant that this is the plan. And it was pushed through by Albany. And we had gotten to the point where this is the final piece of the puzzle. And just to remind you, just to take you back to February 2024, here are a few clips from Governor Kathy Hochul saying, hey, this is it. Shovel's ready. We're ready to go on the 33 tunnel. And I think I clicked on the wrong audio. This is what she had to say. Oh, Tanner, guess what? The mixer is off on the computer. I don't know how that happened. Here we go. This is what Governor Hochul had to say in 2024.
I'm proud today to announce that the Kensington Expressway project has been officially given the green light by the federal government in a critically important step. Thank you. They found no significant impact, which means the environmental review process, which was long, intense, comprehensive, that is now over. And ladies and gentlemen, this project can go now full steam ahead, and we're going to start construction later this year. And Crystal Peoples-Stokes nailed it when she said, it's paralysis by analysis. You can study everything to death, and we're going to do the right thing. We'll always do what's right. I've got the DEC commissioner sitting here. He's protecting the environment. He's not going to let anything happen in this community. In fact, we're going to make it better. It's getting better for people, healthier, safer, cleaner. And some will say, well, we didn't need the Peace Bridge after all because traffic is down. You know why traffic is down? They all went to Detroit instead. Okay? Anybody figure that one out?
Okay. She said, shovels in the ground by the end of this year. Well, that would have been a year ago now because that announcement was February of 2024. So you're not making things up in your head. This is Groundhog Day. We are here again, and the public outreach starts for a second time, stage one, on the Kensington Expressway. Now, again, I had Rich Fontana and Ryan Whalen in studio on Sunday to talk about what they're hoping to get. And as they told me, you know, it's not a either-or scenario, right? These public outreaches for people to bring new ideas or to voice their concern over an idea that they've heard. You know, but this, the tunnel, yes, it's still there. It's still an option. But going into this, it's not the top option. It's not, they're not ranked, right? So this is where you are able to give your opinion, to let your voice be heard on the Kensington Expressway. And I want to know from you at 803-0930, star 930, I've got several questions. Number one, what would you like to see done with the 33? Now, this goes for people who live along the 33, obviously, right? Something you deal with every day. But I do also think people who use the 33 daily, what are your thoughts about, the possibility that after this, the state might decide to fill it in? Now, I don't personally think the state will do that. I am still of the mindset, and this is nothing against the Eastside Parkways Coalition, people like Michael Gaynor, who I've talked to a few times, and he's going to talk with us tomorrow, I believe, on his thoughts on the public outreach. It's nothing against them. It's nothing against the DOT. You know, no offense to Rich Fontana, Ryan Whalen, or anyone over at the DOT. I have no problem with them. I just know Buffalo, and this is where projects go to die. And I think regardless of what's decided, I don't think anything's going to happen. Now, as we learned on Sunday, this is all coming up because the walls are, you know, the walls of the 33 are hitting their max life, right? I mean, it is time to either replace them or replace the highway. And that's where all of this started. But again, the tunnel is what was originally planned. And it was one of these things that as soon as more people in the area were hearing this tunnel plan, you saw approval of this tunnel plan sink in Western New York, and more importantly, sink in the city of Buffalo. More people who realized what was going on said, we don't want anything to do with this. What are you talking about? Yet, you know, you had the governor telling you this is the way to go. You had then State Senator Tim Kennedy saying this is what's best, right? Crystal People Stokes was all over this as well. And as I continued to say, elected politicians wanted this tunnel done so they could cut a campaign ad saying, look what I did for you. Right? And I mean, if nothing had been paused, if nothing had been stopped, they would be constructing a tunnel right now on the 33. So I know everyone can't make the public outreach. People have stuff to do, 5 to 7, you know, dinner time, time with family. So I thought we'd open up the phone lines and hear from you. What would you like to see done with the 33 Expressway? The tunnel, the fill-in option, leave it be, or something that hasn't even been mentioned yet? And what are your concerns? You know, daily commuters to downtown Buffalo who use the 33, if that is taken away, what does that add to your time, your drive to work? If there is no 33, how do you get downtown? How do you get into work? Right? Again, I go back to downtown Buffalo. If you listen to the show for a while, you know I like to focus on downtown Buffalo. Downtown Buffalo has 20 to 25,000 less people a week going downtown. Now, if you believe statistics, 30% of at-home workers are going to have to start somewhat going into the office, either full-time or hybrid. Let's say those numbers translate in Buffalo, New York. You could have more people who need the 33. If that is not there, what does that mean for downtown? What does that mean for commuting into the city? And another piece of this puzzle that will be affected is the project of the Skajakwita. I mean, the 198 has been in limbo for over a decade now. Remember, there was the tragic accident where a child was hit by a car and died. And you know, obviously, that is awful. And, you know, anytime you hear something like that, your heart aches for the family. But it was a knee-jerk reaction by the state to then make the 198 a parkway. Because in all reality, if the car was going the speed limit that is now set at the Skajakwita, you still had people to say that the kid, unfortunately, would have still died, right? And so we have a parkway that, for the most part, still looks like an expressway, right? If you take it fully from the 33 to the 190, you have people like me who don't, you know, who used to go on it every day when I lived in the area. But now when I'm in the city and taking the 198, I want to gun it up to 55 because I'm sorry, that's how the road is built and that's what the speed limit was for so many years. So now you have the 33. Obviously, that's the big discussion. That's where the $1 billion is. But don't forget, there's $100 million sitting for this Skajakwita. And that could also be decided by what happens with the 33. And then you have Mayor-elect Sean Ryan, who told me way back in the day with then Congressman Brian Higgins that they would like to see the 198 completely removed. Now, I realize and I agree that people who live along the 33, people who live in the city, yes, their opinion should have a higher weight, right? I do agree with that. But what does that mean for traveling into the city, into downtown from the northern suburbs if in 5 years there is no Kensington Expressway and there is no Skajakwena? What does that mean for travel? What does that mean for travel within the city when talking about the Skajakwena? I mean, that connects, you know, Buff State, Canisius, Delaware. That's a pretty heavily used street. Even now with the, you know, slow speed limit, it's still a heavily used street. And right now, I think necessary in the city of Buffalo. You get rid of those roads. You know, a lot of people, you'll hear a lot of people in the city say, well, you know, people in the suburbs should just sit this one out. Okay, fine. Let's say the suburbs don't exist. You get rid of the 33 and the Skajakwena. Are you telling me streets like Parkside and Hurdle and all of these, you know, secondary and smaller residential streets can take the extra traffic that will be displaced by the removal of the 198 and the filling in of the 33? Now, I realize that Humboldt Parkway would still be a road. It wouldn't be an expressway, and it wouldn't be able to have the capacity the 33 has. So for those of for people, and again, I don't think anything's going to happen. That's how I feel. I feel in 20 years, I'm still going to have to be holding off my, on the gas pedal when I pull onto the Skajakwena, and it will still exist as well as the 33. But what is the option for those in the city? You know, on Hardline Sunday, we had Sherry in Buffalo call in. And I understand her concerns. I think her concerns are echoed by a lot of people in the city of Buffalo. But again, ignore people from the suburbs for a second. There is still traffic in the city. Where does the displaced traffic go if those two routes are removed? It's something you have to think about, right? A lot of people just want to say, well, we've got to fill the 33 in and that's that. Okay, you have to answer the other questions. There are businesses still fighting to survive in downtown Buffalo. Their employees have to have a way to get to work. And as much as I, growing up, took the Metro Rail, if you don't live near a Metro Rail station, that really isn't an option. Let's just be honest. That's not an option, right? Growing up, we lived right down the street from the South Campus station. We went downtown on the train every time. For a lot of people, that's not an option. So you have to have a way to get into work. For people who live in Cheektowaga, right? In Amherst. In Clarence. You know, I took the 33 to the Turkey Trot on Thanksgiving. 803-0930, star 930. What should be done with the Kensington Expressway? Is there a plan you have not heard that you think would be ideal for the Kensington Expressway? And regardless of what you think should be done, regardless of what you think will be the winning idea out of all of this, are you like me and kind of think, well, it doesn't really matter at the end of the day. It's not going to ever happen just because of what happens to projects in Western New York. And how would removing the 33, how would removing the Skajakwena affect your commute? I'd love to hear that. 803-0930, star 930. We are having our own public outreach on the Joe Beamer Show on News Radio 930 WBEN. Call in, text in. I'm looking forward to talking with you after the break on WBEN.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds low after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience. And it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-BONE at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-BONE.
It's Joe Beamer on News Radio 930 WBEN on a Tuesday. By the way, if you have a Christmas song you'd like us to use as a bump, you can text us, 803-0930, star 930, on the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board. Always open to new suggestions. I'll tell you, it'd be a great day to work at the Fox News Channel. They have just been carrying wall-to-wall the Trump cabinet meeting. Talk about a day off. Just... Tanner, do we have that audio? Could we just dip into the Trump cabinet meeting and not talk for the next hour and a half? No, of course not. I love to talk. That would be so infuriating to me if I just had to sit there and watch as I had all the stuff I wanted to say. 803-0930, star 930. We're talking about the 33 Expressway, the round two, stage one, round two of stage one of the, what do they call it here? Queen City Forward. The Kensington Expressway Project, what would you like to see done? Remember, the first time we did this, Kathy Hochul came and said, hey, it's the tunnel. I'm signing the legislation here. Construction will be done by the end of the year. This is what she had to say in February of 24.
They found no significant impact, which means the environmental review process, which was long, intense, comprehensive, that is now over. And ladies and gentlemen, this project can go now full steam ahead, and we're going to start construction later this year.
They didn't start construction later that year, as it is now December of 25, and we're back to the drawing board. What would you like to see done? What do you think will actually be done when this is all said and done? And how would the removal of the 33 and or the 198 affect your travel into the city, into downtown Buffalo? Let's start in Buffalo with Joe. Hey, Joe, thanks for hanging on.
Hello.
What would you like to see done with the 33?
Well, I think there's a way to fix it. What you do is you dig a tunnel underneath Delaware Park. And then you form a draining system to drain Elmwood, Delaware, all the parallel streets from the north. And then you have to cover the most exposed parts of the Kensington, from West all the way to Main Street. You have to restore it. And then from the east, you have to widen the streets by one lane. One more coming, one more going. So if you got one coming and one going, like Fillmore, you have to have two coming and two going. And that would alleviate, make everybody happy.
So you would still have part of the expressway, but you would also bring back together the separated neighborhoods.
Yeah, you're gonna make some people happy, and some people will be satisfied.
Yeah, I mean, this is the thing, Joe, and I appreciate the call. I mean, that is a reality, what Joe said. Regardless of what happens, there are going to be people who are ticked off, and there are going to be people who are cheering it on, and there'll be some people going, okay, what's the next thing New York State's going to plan to do? Like I said, I have all the faith in the world that there will be a plan out of this, right? I am still not convinced. I think we might see a train to UB North before we see anything different on the Kensington Expressway. Sherry in Buffalo. Sherry, thanks for hanging on.
Hi, you're welcome. I think I'm kind of with you there. I think what we need to do is marry the two ideas. I'm calling from Eastside Collaborative Partnership. Now, we've got an opposition movement. One group wants a tunnel. Another group is saying, no, fill it in. I think what we can do is take your idea and kind of marry all three. Let's keep the corridor that the Kensington Expressway is in the city of Buffalo, but turn that into bringing NFTA to the table, like the Regional Transportation Authority planning entity they are, and use that corridor in Buffalo as an extension from the train to nowhere, going from nowhere to all of a sudden being able to go to UB North and also to the Buffalo Niagara Airport and back from those locations. And I think Humboldt Parkway all the way from downtown Buffalo to Delavan Avenue, we need to restore back to Frederick Law Olmsted's original, beautiful, larger than any other sister parkway in the city destination. And it'll be a regional tourism attraction, too. Think of all the festivals that the residents could have there with the restored parkland there that is. And we also get to, if we use that transportation corridor for those trains instead of cars zooming through persons' bedrooms and living rooms, let's turn that into connecting MLK Park, which used to be Humboldt Park, all the way back to Delaware Park, geographically, physically, and aesthetically.
You know, Sherry, the irony is, if the train had actually, if the NFTA back in the 80s, right, if the Metrorail had gone and they had built the original plan, this removing the 33, I don't think would have been as big a deal because you would have had the train going to all those places it was planned to go. I don't think removing these roads would have been as big of a deal because more people, like I said, I grew up near the South Campus of UB. I grew up going on the train downtown. I think if more people grew up with that availability near their house, you wouldn't have as many people on the 33 and this wouldn't be as much of a debate because you could remove it.
You know, what we all have got to do is accept the responsibility that the climate leadership and climate protection and community, you know, whatever that CLCPA thing is, we need to accept the responsibility that New York State has got to meet its climate protection goals. And we cannot do that if we maintain that highly toxic, high-speed freeway zooming through Eastside Buffalo. Eastside Buffalo deserves to get their Frederick Law Olmsted Parkway back to itself, restore that beautiful cultural heritage, and also all those other, you know, those radio streets like Clinton and William and Sycamore and Broadway and Main Street and the 190, the 290. I mean, there's other ways to get to downtown Buffalo and to the airport. And it, believe me, I've already tried it. I've researched going on the expressway, and I've researched driving down Genesee Street. It's almost the same time frame that you get to the airport, believe it or not. And Genesee Street's a lot wider than Humboldt Parkway or the expressway ever should have been allowed to be. Thank you for taking my call.
Hey, Sherry, one last thing. Will you be going to the meeting tonight?
Oh, I'm definitely going there. And I'm going there as Eastside Collaborative Partnership. You know, we need to bring the groups together, and I'm for not, so let's stop treating the DOT like they're the enemy. You know, they don't live in Humboldt Parkway. They don't have the same experience or perspective as an Eastside resident that's living within a mile of that horrible pollution coming off that expressway. But let's also recognize that we have a responsibility as a state to meet this climate leadership and community. I think it's called climate protection and community leadership, or climate leadership and community protection back, whatever. Whatever it is, we have a responsibility to the rest of this planet to meet those goals that set New York State back on track to honoring its obligations in the global community, especially starting here inside this region.
Hey, Sherry, appreciate the call. Sherry in Buffalo, and she'll be at the public outreach tonight. I'm sure she'll be at the other meetings once they announce them. They've only announced the one tonight. And then later on, they'll announce when the second and the third one will be. Again, we've gone through this process before. As you know, the tunnel was the original, you know, that was going to be the idea. I mean, they got to the point where they were making AI videos of driving through the tunnel. The governor was here. She was adamant that the 33 tunnel would be constructed at the end of, you know, would start construction at the end of 2024 a few months ago. They said, hey, we're going back to the table. I'm not sure the governor has commented on this publicly, but they're going back to the drawing board. And tonight is step one of going back to the drawing board. And as you hear, I mean, there's a lot of passion from people who want to see this filled in. They want to see Humboldt Parkway restored to what Humboldt Parkway was before. Obviously, it was torn up for the 33. And I get that. I'm like I said, I'm not pushing back on anything. My argument is, we don't have the train that we were supposed to have in the 80s, right? I mean, we don't have that. That's the reality. We have, as Sherry said, the train that goes down part of Main Street, train to nowhere. I do believe if we had a train that went to the airport, to UB North, you know, maybe this isn't as big of a deal. But removing an expressway to downtown Buffalo, you do have to you do have to look at what would that mean for travel to downtown Buffalo and from people along the 33 who, you know, need to get to the airport, need to get to Amherst, need to get to Cheektowaga. And then you also have ECMC right on the 33 expressway. What does removing the expressway mean for emergency vehicles? Something that we really did not hear much of in the first round, or I didn't at least, in the first round of public outreach. What would it mean for emergency vehicles and ECMC? So these are all things that need to be discussed, that need to be looked into. And yeah, you do have to realize, you know, a lot of people want to bring up the inner loop in Rochester. And we talked about this on Sunday on Hardline. The inner loop in Rochester, you know, a lot of people who are talking about filling in the 33, they use that as an excuse. As an example. And the thing about the inner loop in Rochester is it didn't have the traffic that the 33 has on a daily basis. It just didn't. I mean, what they did with the inner loop in Rochester is great. You know, they filled it in. It looks awesome. Is that a reality in Buffalo? And that's going to be the thing that, you know, if the DOT decides, if the findings here is anything other than the fill-in, they are going to have to explain why the fill-in was not a viable option. And again, I do think it comes down to traffic. And, you know, I understand. Believe me, I've Steve Cishan has a great layout of pictures before and pictures during construction of the 33. I should put that on my Facebook page, and I will. It really illustrates, you know, what the process was, number one, and number two, what, you know, what it looked like, what people are talking about, you know, bringing back Humboldt Parkway and everything. But the reality is that it's been decades now. It's been a generation of people that are used to taking the 33 into the city. You know, when I went to Madai College, I was, you know, I'd go home and take food from my parents' fridge all the time and bring it back to my dorm. And I would use the 33, right? You'd take the 198 to the 33. So for a lot of people, it is the way downtown. And you do have to find what are people going to be using. And again, as I said, you take away the 33 and the 198, you think of some of those streets downtown, are they going to be able to hold more traffic? Because the reality is that people are still going to have to get to work. People are still going to have to go downtown. So where are you putting those cars? And whatever your plan is, can those routes support more cars? I know the easy answer is, we'll just take the 90 to the 190 and go in that way. I mean, for a lot of people, that is adding 10, 20 minutes to their trip downtown. And what does that mean if you're not going to work? Oh, I really like to go to this thing downtown, but is it worth the extra 20, 30 minutes to go out of my way to get on the 190? Now, for a lot of people, it would be, right? Like for me, I'll drive the extra 20 minutes to go see the Sabres. But for some people, they wouldn't. That's a reality that you have to factor in. And other people would say, I'm just going to take Main Street down. That's not as fast as the expressway. And also, I mean, how many of the cars that would be displaced from the 33 can go on Main Street? You can't put all the cars that use the 33 every day on Main Street. That's not realistic. So again, I'm not saying that the Humboldt Parkway plan is not a good plan. It's the farthest thing from what I'm saying. I'm saying if that is the decision to go and fill in the 33, it is up to the DOT to have a plan where to put the displaced traffic. It's just like what we talked about with the Skyway. For the longest time, I said this on Sunday when we had Rich and Ryan, and I said, you know, the funniest thing is my entire life I've heard about getting rid of the Skyway. You know, and then I was all for getting rid of the Skyway until you live in the South Towns and you go, oh, you know, the Skyway, I kind of use this, right? But that's all we, and what was every discussion about the Skyway? Where will the displaced traffic go? And then you had people in the city saying, well, we can't have all these cars on these streets. They're not built for that capacity. So if we had that discussion with the Skyway, you're going to have that discussion with the 33. Where do you put the displaced cars? Remember, the Skyway, you kind of had an idea of where you put the displaced cars because the Skyway's closed, what, half a winter? So, you know, but people said we can't have this traffic daily from the Skyway being torn down. By the way, the Skyway was closed on Thanksgiving. I noticed it when I was jumping on the 190 to go home. So where does displaced traffic go? What is the plan? Do you widen the already existing roads if you do get rid of the one of the 33? And again, do you get rid of the 33 and the 198? Does the current 33 expressway go to the 198 and then that's where it gets filled in? I mean, it's a process of where does the fill-in begin? Where does the 33 end? Where does Route 33 end? That's going to have to be discussed. And I'm sure, I mean, this will be the way it goes. I mean, you'll have the public outreach. The DOT will have their plan. And then you're going to have businesses downtown. You are going to have people downtown going, wait a minute, what does this mean for people trying to get downtown, a part of the city that is really trying to find a groove and find some kind of way to get back to business 6 years, you know, 5 years after COVID? Again, these are the realities of what's going on with this process. It's not as simple as this is what we want, this is what we should have. Again, I'm not saying that the opinion is not important. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying we have to find a way to, if that's going to be the, if the be-all of this is going to be fill in the 33, it is up to the DOT to have an answer for where the displaced traffic goes. And that will open up an entire different conversation that I don't think we had the first time, because I do believe, I honestly believe the DOT is looking at all options this time around. I think they learned their lesson the first time. But I do believe the first public outreach and everything, tunnel was their idea, and they went in, boom, we're doing tunnel. I honestly believe that. This time, I do think they have a more open mind because they know the backlash of the tunnel idea, and it's going to be met with legal action. So, you know, part of this outreach has to be displaced cars. That is the reality. Again, people might not, you know, go out of their way to go downtown for an event. They will still have to go to work. A lot of people do still have to go. I know a lot of people get to work from home. There's still many, many people that have to go to an actual building and work, and a lot of those people do still work downtown. How are they going to get to work downtown? Remember, we're talking about the 33. I can't believe I haven't thought of this yet. We're talking about the 33, right? What business is moving from Amherst to downtown Buffalo, where you would think a lot of their employees who probably live in Amherst near the Amherst facility now will have to find a way downtown, right? That's 1,000 jobs. So you're guessing a few extra 100 people are now looking for a route to downtown Buffalo when Ingram Micro opens up downtown. You'd have to guess a lot of those people right now, as it stands, would be taking the 33. Something else you have to look at. 803-0930, star 930, public outreach tonight for Queen City Forward. We're doing a public outreach right here on News Radio 930 WBEN. What would you like to see done with the 33? What would you like to see done with the 198? The Skajakwita always gets lost in the conversation. We're told that money is still sitting there. It's just on hold. What happens to the Skajakwita? I mean, talk about a mess. It's a parkway. Still looks like an expressway. Does anything get done with that? 803-0930, star 930. It's Joe Beamer on News Radio 930 WBEN. Yes, hour number two on a Tuesday. Talking about the 33 Kensington Project, or as the DOT calls it, Queen City Forward. First public outreach meeting is tonight. You heard that in Brayton's newscast from 5 to 7 at the Schiller Park Senior Center, located at 2057 Genesee Street in Buffalo. The next one will be announced pretty soon. If you missed my interview with Rich Fontana and Ryan Whalen on Hardline Sunday, you can find that on demand at WBEN.com, the Odyssey app. But, you know, don't do that until after my show, after Tom's show, after the evening news. And then, you know, no offense to Will Kane, but if you want to go back and listen to that, you can find that in all interviews on the Odyssey app. Cheryl is in Grand Island. Cheryl, thanks for hanging on.
Hi.
What's your thoughts on the 33?
Well, I just wanted to say I've lived here since 1974. I've been an emergency room nurse for 43 years. I'm retired now. When I first started, there was no level one trauma center, and we had a burn treatment center downtown. Now we're missing Columbus Hospital, Emergency Hospital, Doctors Hospital, St. Francis, Deaconess, and Millard Fillmore. All those people downtown are forced to go to level one trauma care now, which has been designated as ECMC. What happens when they can't get there fast enough because there's no 33?
It's a great point. I mean, something that obviously has to be considered. And I don't think, you know, if you fill in the 33, you couldn't replace that outlet for ECMC. It would definitely cause an issue with emergency vehicles.
Well, and they're going to have to be going down city streets. And I think we went through that nonsense in the summer when we had the fire truck saying that the Do you remember when they had the speed bumps and the fire trucks were saying how much longer it was taking to get to the burning houses? So I'm just saying, how much longer will it take when you don't have a throughway going down?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's perfect for that, the expressway. I mean, even with the parkway, it'll held up and it will not get people as quickly as the 33. That's why ECMC is in such a great position, is because of how fast emergency vehicles can get on the 33 and get down there.
And then they're also talking about, and it's been up in the air for several years, about moving the VA down to the medical corridor. Well, how much more are you going to move down the medical corridor? Because people are going to be, you know, going down Main Street and Broadway, chug-a-lug at 25 miles an hour to get there. Like, who wants to do that?
Yeah, all things to be considered. And I think that's something, again, was not mentioned the first time around. But if this fill-in option, you know, gets the steam that it seems to have gotten, I really think people have to consider the implications on emergency vehicles, which, you know, is not a minor thing. It's a pretty important thing when talking about the future of travel in the city of Buffalo.
Well, it's very important because I worked downtown, and I know that they would take trauma patients past our hospital to get to ECMC. And at this point, there's nowhere that you can't stop anywhere because they've closed all the other hospitals. And then I guess my last thing was, I know that there's some indication about 98. And of course, that goes pretty slow too. But I did listen to a Dr. Kendron, and she is with Buff State. And she gives lectures with the retired Erie County Services to Seniors University Express. And she is very knowledgeable on the history of the Skajakwita, which is what I listen to. And she talks about what is underneath the Skajakwita, why it was there, and blah, blah, blah. I think she would be a great person to tap into, since she knows so much about it.
I would love to hear more and talk with anyone, especially, you know, on these roads, because I mean, you have a guy now elected mayor. Now I realize these are state roads, but when he was in state government, wanted to completely remove one road, and you know what I mean. So it'll be very interesting what City Hall has to say about all this starting January 1st.
Earlier on the broadcast, they were talking about having a Christmas festival and hoping that this was going to be the first of many. But you're trying to pull people downtown, and then you're giving them the option of later on pulling you downtown on Main Street and Broadway at 25 miles an hour. I don't know how successful these future plans will be.
No, like I said, people are going to go downtown if they have to go downtown for work. But if you're adding time to anything for an event, if it's, you know, not the direct route that they're used to, that'll affect, you know, people who want to go downtown, which will affect business, which, yes, in fact, will affect the city of Buffalo. I mean, these are all things that, again, I realize it sounds great, you know, filling in and bringing back to what it was in the 40s and 50s. But at the end of the day, it's what's best for the city overall. And you do have to factor in emergency vehicles, like you said, Cheryl. And yeah, are people going to be willing to go out of their way to get downtown if a direct route is taken away?
I guess my last thing is, for all of those families that are living on those arterials that would take people downtown, is the safety of their children crossing the street, getting on school buses or whatever, because their traffic is going to be zooming past them. And that, those are not going to be safe areas to live in.
Right. Yeah. I mean, these displaced cars are going to be going, you know, down secondary, down residential streets. 35,000 cars a day are going to have to find another place to go. I can't imagine what mess that would create if they do end up filling all this in.
Well, I thank you for your time.
Hey, I thank you for the call, Cheryl. Thank you so much. And 100% on the emergency vehicles. It is something you have to consider. you know, again, if this is your plan, then the next plan has to be, what do we do about emergency vehicles? What do we do about displaced vehicles? I mean, that is the reality. And I understand people in the city of Buffalo, and rightfully so, they want their voice. You know, hey, we live along the 33. We live, you know, within a mile of the 33. This is, you know, this is our home and we'd like to see this. I get it. And I also agree that if you live in the city, yeah, you should have a weighted say. I'm not pushing back on that. But all does have to be considered. And you have to also consider that if I'm downtown Buffalo, if I'm a business that's still remaining in downtown Buffalo, I don't just want people from the people that live in the city. Of course, I want people that live in the city, but I also need the business from people in the suburbs. And if you're going to remove a direct route, what does that mean for my business? What does that mean for my restaurant, right? Those are all things that have to be considered. And like I said, I mean, in a perfect world, we would have a metro system, a metro service that train service that was introduced in the late 70s, early 80s, and it would be fully of that plan. But it's not. And people are set in their ways. Right. And on top of all that, as Cheryl said, it is important to have a route for emergency vehicles to ECMC. So how do you replace that? And how do you not take minutes away from an ambulance? That's important. Right. Minutes are crucial, especially for, you know, some of the patients that are being sent to ECMC, obviously. 803-0930, star 930. It's interesting to look at, you know, in the early 50s, they were already starting to put in the Skajakwita Expressway. And I'm looking at this picture right near where Medei College used to be and just how different it looked in 1951, right? And, you know, you had Main Street, you had Kensington Avenue. Now, you know, you hear a lot of stuff and you don't know what's true and what's not true. When I was a kid, I was told that Kensington Avenue was built to avoid a toll in Amherst on Main Street. Now, I don't know if that's true, but I was told by a teacher at Amherst High School that there used to be a toll booth at Berryman and Main. And to continue on Main, you know, into the city, you'd have to pay a toll. So, I don't know. Back in the day, did just random people build roads? But the story goes that that's how Kensington Avenue was built, to avoid said toll. And that's why it connects Main Street to Main Street. Again, I don't know. That seems a little far-fetched now that I say it out loud. But that was a story that I had heard way back in the day in high school. And, you know, some of these stories you hear and they stick with you, even if like you think, oh, I don't know, does that make a lot of sense? Again, saying it out loud now, I'm like, oh, maybe that's not accurate. I don't know. 803-0930, star 930. Again, tonight is the first public outreach meeting, 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. at the Schiller Park Senior Center, 2057 Genesee Street. And as Rich Fontana and Ryan Whalen said, obviously they want to talk with people who are living along the 33 that, you know, in the city of Buffalo, but they also want to hear people who drive on the 33 and, you know, take the 33 daily. Again, this is a road that has what, 35,000 cars on it a day, something like that. And, you know, you compare it to the inner loop in Rochester that, you know, had less than half of that a day. So it's not the comparison that a lot of people would make you want to think it is. But with that said, and again, this is not an anti-fill-in-the-33 option show. That's not what I'm trying to make it. I'm saying these are the realities of every idea brought forward. You know, a lot of people say, well, this is the idea that people want. Let's go through with it. But you have to figure out you have to figure in everything. Like, everything has to have there has to be a resolution to now the issue that would be caused by that. I'm not saying it's impossible. I'm just saying these are the things we have to talk out. And like the DOT said, it's not this decision between two choices. There could be something completely new brought to the table. You know, a new option could form. But this, we're here today, round one again. You know, almost 2 years after Kathy Hochul said there'll be shovels in the ground at the end of 2024, there were not. But we're here because the walls are hitting their life expectancy, and either they're going to have to reinforce the walls along the 33, or, you know, go forward with a new idea and a new vision for the Kensington Expressway. And it's a story that you know I'll follow. I believe I'll text Michael today. We'll have Michael Gaynor on tomorrow to get his thoughts on the meeting. And, you know, again, Eastside Parkway Coalition, they've been great with me, having regular conversation and calling in and you know, voicing their opinion. I'm not against any option. Like, I do think the tunnel was very unpopular, and it was always a question of why the state went forward with the tunnel idea. I'm not anti-fill in the 33. What are the options for the displaced vehicles? And I'm going to keep asking that question. Just like I'm going to keep on asking why the county can't afford a plumber for the holding center. These are questions I'm going to keep asking. I got an email yesterday from someone that said, Joe, why do you keep on bringing the plumber up from the holding center? It's like, because it's insane. That's why. It is insane that the county would not approve that job. That's why I keep bringing it up. And I will keep on bringing it up. You want to talk about how great Erie County, the great position we're in, look at our credit rating. You can't afford a plumber for the holding center. I'm going to keep on pointing that out. I think it's important. Let's go to John in Lancaster. John, you want to talk about the inner loop in Rochester?
Yeah, so comparing it to filling in the 33 instead of having all these meetings and overthinking, and that's what they overthink and pay extra money for studies. Just ask Rochester how they feel about filling in the inner loop and how that worked out for them.
I know a lot of people in Rochester think it's great. The problem is that wasn't even half the traffic that the 33 has.
No. Well, one of the things that people that I know that live there, they said it definitely changed the demographics of the neighborhoods.
Oh, I had not heard that. I just know that a lot of people in the city that, you know, want the 33 filled in, they point to the inner loop in Rochester. And again, you know, I've seen some of the pictures. Looks great. It's a lot less traffic than what's on the 33.
Right. And the inner loop in Rochester, if you don't know what you're doing on it, you'll get lost. So, I mean, there's definitely pros and cons. The 33 is pretty much a straight shot.
Yeah, but it's a lot more road, too.
The nurse lady that called in and made the point out about travel time to ECMC, maybe they could just change half of it.
Right, but then if you're coming from downtown, that still removes the expressway portion. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
No, I mean, this is all above my pay grade, John. I mean, because that's another question. We haven't even got, we're an hour and a half in. You're right. So if we fill it in, where does it end? Right? That's another big question. And that would have ramifications on what happens to the Skajakwita, you know? So, all great questions that we obviously didn't get answered the first time around. So back to the drawing board and we'll see. Thank you, John, in Lancaster. There was also a highway that was filled in Dallas. Someone, tweeted me, or I'm sorry, X-posted me. Is that how you say it? I don't want to say X to me. X-posted me, saying that they should cap it and make it park space on top like they did in Dallas. It's absolutely beautiful. But Western New York and our politicians have a long history of making horrible infrastructure choices. That is something we can all agree on. I think team leave it alone, team fill it in, team tunnel. Well, not Team Tunnel, because it seems like Team Tunnel is mostly politicians. I think we can all agree that, I mean, decades and decades of poor infrastructure decisions at the city level, at the county level, and at the state level. And, you know, my biggest gripe with city leadership over the last decade is, you know, not making the infrastructure improvements and not making a space to where a stadium would be ready to be built, expecting that the Pagulas were just going to come and say, okay, what do you need us to do? Instead of, you know, doing infrastructure changes like, you know, saying, hey, this would be perfect for a stadium. We'll widen the roads. We'll update the sewage. They never did that, you know. And again, you want to point at the Pagulas, but that was something the city could have done. And I think the stadium would be downtown. They didn't take the proactive approach. And I know people are going to say, well, Joe, if they had and the Pagulas still picked Orchard Park, then, you know, everyone would be saying, oh, look at all the money you wasted. Maybe. I find it hard to believe that if there was a spot in downtown Buffalo ready for a stadium, ready to handle that traffic, I doubt they would have passed up on it. But again, I don't know. I don't know. That's about of whataboutism. And we're living in the present and in the present and today. And in reality, there is a public outreach meeting at the Schiller Park Senior Center tonight, 5 p.m., open house style. So it doesn't mean you don't have to be there right at 5. You can go anytime between 5 or 7 and let your voice be heard. Again, it's one of several that will be happening. Would love to hear from you. 803-0930-930. It's Joe Beamer on News Radio 930 WBEN.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. You know, one of the perks about having 4 kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north. Mm-hmm. And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a 2-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience. And it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-BONE at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-BONE.
Oh, yeah. Final segment here, News Radio 930 WBEN. 803-0930, star 930. If you'd like to chime in on the 33 project, the 198, or just an example of where, of how Buffalo's become the place where development dreams go to die. Also, rocking around the Christmas tree. I mean, it's December 2nd. Do most people have their Christmas tree up? Is this weekend like the weekend for a lot of people? I never understood people, and I'll talk more about this on Christmas Eve. I never understood people who put their Christmas tree up on Christmas Eve. Now, again, I love holiday traditions, and I love hearing other people's traditions. I'm not, you know, I'm not knocking anyone's holiday tradition. But I will, like, so you just don't have a tree until Christmas Eve? Like, that always, I was always, like, shocked by that, you know? I mean, as a kid, and even now, like, I love how, you know, you got to rearrange things and, you know, in a room to put the Christmas tree in. You know, when that table moves, oh, it's Christmas time. And just to have a tree for, what, a week? And then you take it down on New Year's Eve? Seems like a lot of work for a week of enjoying the tree. But that's just me. Since we've been talking about cars, I thought we would keep it on this topic for a minute. Did you hear about this law in California? This is absolutely wild. And I had to test it. I had to go look on the California state portal to make sure that this is true. And it is. I went on to the legislature.ca.gov. This is California's AB 435 that was signed into law and effective next January 1st, not this coming January 1st, the following 2027. Now, this is absolutely crazy. It modifies child passenger safety requirements by placing the age and height exemptions with a new five-step test for proper seatbelt fit. So, now if you are between the ages of 8 and 16, if you can't pass the, I didn't even get to that part. Yeah. No, okay, so if you are between the ages of 8 and 16 and can't pass the five-step test for proper seatbelt fit, you have to sit in a booster seat. Could you imagine you're 15 and you failed the state five-step seatbelt test and you have to sit in a booster? I mean, 8 to 16. 16, you finally get your permit. Even if you can't put your seatbelt on, you're fine. But if you're 15, really? If you're 15, you have to be in a booster seat? Now, if you're wondering, what's the five-step test? Well, ladies and gentlemen, I have the five-step test right here. I mean, this to me is crazy. Like, I think for a booster seat, age, height requirements, that's it. I mean, you're going to tell me a 14-year-old that what? Didn't buckle the... I don't get it. But let's go through the test. Maybe I'm missing something here. So the five-step test, children aged 8 to 16 must pass this test to be able to use a seatbelt without a booster seat. The test requires a child to be able to meet all five criteria. 1, sitting all the way back against the auto seat. 2, knees bending comfortably over the edge of the seat. 3, shoulder belt crossing the center of the chest and shoulder, not the neck. 4, lap belt as low as possible, touching the thighs. 5, being able to stay in this position for the entire trip. I would pass the five-step test. Like, I drive... If you've ever gotten in a car after I've driven it, and it's not one of those ones that sets back, I drive with my knees touching the, you know, touching the right under the wheel. Like, I like to be as close to the wheel as possible. I feel like I have the most control. I can't. There are people that they their seats are back. You know, they pull their seat. I don't want any space. I like to be right up on the wheel. So right there, and I leaned forward in the seat. I know that's not safe. I know. But I lean forward with the wheel. I don't sit all the way back with my arms extended driving. So I would, the way I usually sit in a, now to pass a test, I could do it. But that's crazy. And then what? So if a cop is driving by and sees someone, are they going to age profile? See someone who doesn't look like they're 16 and they're leaning forward in their chair? Are they going to pull the parent over and give the 13-year-old a citation? Hey, I saw you leaning forward in your seat. That's 30 days of a booster seat. I mean, what? Officer, I'm sorry. No. 30 days, booster seat. If I see you again, your parent gets their license revoked. I mean, come on. But that's what's going on in the state of California starting in 2027. If you're 10 years old and can't pass the five-step test, which I don't, like I said, I mean, I would get caught breaking that all the time. I don't sit with my back all the way to the seat. I'm not a nervous driver. I'm just a very, like, I like to be on top of it. I like to be on top of everything. I feel like if I'm sitting back, I'm not as focused. I mean, Tanner could tell you, I never even sit back in the chair at work. I'm leaning forward now. Like, I like to be focused. When I'm driving, I don't want to be resting. Just like when I'm hosting, I don't want to be resting. I did that once during COVID. I was hosting from home and I fell asleep during a press conference. I think the statute of limitations has passed on that. So I don't think I'll be getting let go for admitting that almost 6 years later. But yeah, I mean, that's just to me. I still have the seatbelt on, like the seatbelt comfortably on and safely on. But this is the enforcement, by the way. If you're wondering, Joe, just get to what the enforcement would be. Violations would be an infraction with fines. $20 for the first offense, $50 for each subsequent offense. To be paid by the driver of the car. The minimum age to ride in the front seat has also changed to 13. Children 13 years and under will be prohibited from the front seat. Now, that's crazy. You know, I've sat in the front seat long before I was 13. But that is now in California, 13 and under to the back seat. And again, if you're 8 to 13 and you don't pass the five-step test, you'll be in a booster seat. This all goes into effect January 1st in the great state of California. One more thing I wanted to get to. 5 years ago today, right? 5 years ago today, Governor Andrew Cuomo said, and I have this in my Facebook memories because I was filling in for the great Tom Bowerly, and I put this on my Facebook page when promoting the show. The governor said, "We will never go back to normal." That is what Governor Cuomo said 5 years ago. Now, remember, 5 years ago, we were talking about, could we have fans in the stadium for the playoffs? The answer was very few. And you had to go through a whole testing thing. And if a cotton stick up your nose said you had COVID, they took your tickets away from you. And they gave them to someone else. I mean, just looking back, and I don't like to dwell too much on COVID, even though, I mean, we have not recovered economically in New York State, in Erie County. You know, we had a county executive who kept the emergency powers long past anyone else in the state. And, you know, I believe, and this is me, and I get paid for my opinion, I believe that people like Governor Cuomo at the time and the county executive of Erie County, I believe they didn't want us to go back to normal. I think you have a lot of politicians that got so this fulfilling feeling with all the power that they got so drunk on that power, they didn't want to let it go. And that's why, COVID is still happening. I mean, in May of 21, we had the county executive saying that there might not be a full stadium for the kickoff of the 21 season. Now, there was, And then after that, you needed a vaccine card to get into a open-air stadium. And, you know, to me, it's not, how do we let this happen, blah, blah, blah. That's not, it's how do we continue to elect the people who controlled our lives, who happily took control of our lives and told us what we could and could not do. How do people continue to vote for those people? I just don't get it. After the business that was lost that will never come back, you look at downtown Buffalo, you look at Western New York and businesses that couldn't survive during COVID, they never came back. They didn't reopen after the pandemic. And you think of like the things that were said, like, we will find you, we will shut you down. You had a leader, someone who's supposed to be a leader of the area, threatening to shut down businesses. You heard the End of David show. He was playing things like, oh, you could have all the stuffing and, you know, stuff you want. Just eat by yourself. Again, promoting just sitting at home and getting fat. While, again, the virus was most severe for people who were overweight. 78% of hospitalizations were obese and overweight individuals. Yet you had elected officials who allegedly were so scared about your health that they told you to sit at home, eat. Yeah, we're closing gyms until next year. It's crazy. Like, I don't think I'll ever be able to look back and not ask myself, how did we let that happen? Like I said, that is one question, obviously, I'm asking. But the more pressing question is, how do we continue to elect the people who let it happen? Let me take back what I said 2 minutes ago. Yeah, I am. How did we let this happen? Yeah. How do we let elected officials get so drunk on power that they kept craving more power? But it's like lessons learned. No, we're just going to keep on electing the same people who we now know will take any excuse to take away your freedoms, to take more power, to shut your business down. And again, I mean, all you have to do is look at what was said 5 years ago when Governor Andrew Cuomo said, we will never go back to normal. And I believe that's exactly what he wanted. He didn't want to go back to normal. There are elected officials who never wanted to go back to normal. They didn't want to go back to being irrelevant. They wanted to be the center of attention. They wanted to have the press conferences. They wanted to threaten you. They wanted to be able to send someone out because you're walking around a park without a mask on. They crave that power. And somehow they continue to get reelected and reelected and reelected. Or, you know, the second in command who let it all happen continues to get reelected and reelected. And then New York State wonders why so many people are leaving. Why did all these people leave? I don't know, because they went to a state that in May said, hey, you know what? Maybe we should start opening doors. Maybe we should start, you know, getting back to regular, getting back to normal. It's also crazy that we're almost 6 years away from when the pandemic really started closing stuff down. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. So just a thought I had that I wanted to bring to you. Coming up next, it is Tom Bowerly on this Tuesday that started off snowy. Now it's just kind of cold and gray. But Tom will be the ray of sunshine that you need to get home.
Ray of sunshine.
Yeah, that's you, Tom.
That's a little optimistic, I think. Sorry, you just had me thinking about all of the pandemic nonsense, and I've got a great show idea for you, Joe. Maybe I'll steal this. I wasn't even thinking in that direction, but you got my mind working, Joe. So you're doing your job as a radio talk show host. Be sure to have a light jacket with you. The COVID restrictions that you still are just shaking your head over because they made absolutely no sense.
Yeah, like avoiding outdoor state, any kind of outdoor gathering. I'll still never understand how that made any sense to anybody.
My own personal favorite was, when you walk into a restaurant, you wear a mask. When you sit at the table, you may take the mask off. If you stand up to go to the bathroom, you must put the mask on. That was one incredibly intelligent virus. It knew when you were standing. It knew when you're awake. It knew when you're not feeling well, so you better feel well, for goodness sake. It's my own little tribute there to Bruce Springsteen. Thank you very much. Coming up after 3 o'clock, Joe, we've got a lot of things coming up. Have you noticed all the damned vandalism going on?
Oh, my gosh. Everywhere. And sometimes I go, how do they get up there to do it?
I have no idea. All I can say is we've come a long way from Lop-Banik-Box. You don't know what that is?
No.
It was an old bit of graffiti that was on, I think, 3 or 4 different locations in Western New York back in the early 1990s. Lop-Banik-Box. Nobody knows what it meant. Nobody knows who did it. Nobody has claimed responsibility. I'm pretty sure it was a CIA psyop. I'm just saying. That's my only determination on that, because whoever did it must have taken some kind of an omerta vow of secrecy or something. But anyway, vandalism really aggravates me. And what also aggravates me is being told by a store clerk that I need my parents with me, or I'm not allowed in the store by myself. That irritates me tremendously. But we'll talk a little bit about vandalism. And Joe, there's no getting away from it, okay? I made the mistake. Well, it really wasn't a mistake, because it worked out pretty well. I was doing the Christmas song show last week, I believe it was, and I brought up Christmas movies. And in that, it is only the 2nd of December, and when you turn on TV, whatever your TV provider, whoever your TV provider happens to be, you're going to see a lineup of Christmas movies from here until Easter about, I want to find out from people, the all-time greatest Christmas movie. And everybody's got that one movie they've got to watch every single year. I know that I do. I bet that you do. I've got a few movies that must be watched every single year with a great deal of love, reverence, respect, caring, charity, and goodwill toward men. Such as Bad Santa. That would be one.
That is a great movie.
It's a very delicate movie. Yeah.
I have two. Home Alone, because I grew up watching Home Alone, and Home Alone 2. I love a lot of Christmas movies, but that's 1 and 2 for me, Tom.
Okay, time out. This came up yesterday, Joe.
Uh-oh.
But when you're watching Home Alone, don't you ever think to yourself, hey, dumbass, why not call a neighbor? Why not call the cops? What are you doing trying to be like Delta Force here? I mean, come on.
Yeah, I mean, I get annoyed at, you know, they didn't run upstairs to check. Like, I'm the kind of person that, and I've talked about this, I have complete OCD. Like, I have to check every room 10 times before I leave the house to make sure I didn't have a stove on or the sink on or leave a light on. And no one went up to the attic knowing Kevin was sleeping there. I mean, I get annoyed from the beginning, but I love the movie. I love Joe Pesci.
Well, yeah, Joe Pesci is great, and that other fellow, Rob Schneider, he ain't bad either. And Macaulay Culkin, what a great life he's had since those movies. It's really breathtakingly awesome, the kind of life he's had since the Home Alone movies. I'm sorry.
Amazing career.
Too soon? No, the poor guy, I mean, that Hollywood destroyed him.
Yeah.
Say it ain't so, Joe. But here's a fun Hollywood fact. We're going to identify the actor who's in every single holiday movie ever made since the beginning of Hollywood. I'll just tell you right now. John Candy. Every single holiday movie, John Candy has a role in it, including your favorite.
That's right.
The original National Lampoon Vacation. He was the cop at Wally World.
Oh, my gosh.
He was the security guard at Wally World.
You're right.
We watched it last night. You can tell we have deep intellectual taste here in the Bowerly household.
I love it. I think I would love every movie that comes across that screen, Tom. Well, I'm looking, you know, my love for Christmas. I'm looking forward to that. And the vandalism, the graffiti, because, you know, the Buffalo Grand Hotel has had the same graffiti on it since before I graduated college. So
it's nothing but a humbug, sir. It's a poor excuse for picking a man's pocket once a year.
That's Tom Bowerly. He is up next after the news with Brayton. I'll be back here tomorrow at 1 on News Radio 930 WBEN.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.